We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Before we continue on here, our conversation about the history of automobiles, we do have a caller on the line, as I understand. Good morning, you're on In Focus. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we've been having a little bit of technical challenges with one of our phone lines here, but we do have a caller online.
Okay, good morning, you're on In Focus. Go ahead.
Good morning. My husband worked for a Phillips 66 station back in the late 50s, early 60s. And in that day, people could get their cars washed in full-service gasoline stations. They'd have a bay with a hose that they kind of kept back for car washes. And that was one way it was done if you didn't do it yourself.
That makes sense, mm-hmm. that would be a dimension that full-service stations would do. That's very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you for this interesting program.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the interesting bit of history there. I guess I didn't think about that, but of course a full service means everything.
And it would give the staff, when they didn't have customers, things they could work on, and yeah, that makes good sense.
Do we have another caller? Or are we just
No. Like I said, we've been having some troubles with our second line.
Okay.
Can't explain that other than,
it's Monday.
Sorry, guys. It's Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the phone system's waterlogged. I don't know.
Well, it's always interesting. You know, a lot of people, we talk about their first cars. Maybe not the most exciting car when you get your first car, but it's always fun to dream. And I was telling you during the break what my dream car would be if I had, money was no limitation to me. I would like an old classic Rolls Royce, like from the early 1940s, I think, would be about the right era for me.
That would be very snazzy, I think,
yeah,
to roll around in one of those. I would want a T-Bird, one of those 1950s T-Birds. One of my high school friends had a T-Bird that her dad let her drive, and boy, did we have fun with that.
Suzanne Summers, American Graffiti.
That
white
T-Bird. Yes.
Oh, dream car number one, not to mention dream girl. But
hers was powder blue, which was also very nice.
Yeah. And when they did those retro Thunderbirds, those were pretty cool. But boy.
Yes.
Those 55, 56 T-Birds. And Brandon, you were talking about putting gas in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And out at the Midwest Dream Car Collection, which is, we haven't talked much about
wonderful.
That.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. There's one vehicle there where there's a push button in the taillight.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the old Cadillacs. And you push the button, and it lifts the taillight so that you can put your gas in the tank there, behind the taillight.
Wow.
Which, Doug Malone showed me that. And my son was with me, and we were just like, oh, wow. So every time I go there now, I'm like going, hey, tell me where you put the gas in. I'll take a friend and I'll stump them every time.
And of course, I would have
time.
A really hard time with that. I have trouble figuring out which side of the car the gas tank is on, depending on what I'm driving. I'm always going in the wrong side.
Well, we mentioned the different business. I'll get to my point here in a second. We got another caller. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hey, good morning. Say, I used to have a Phillips 66 station right there downtown Manhattan on the north side of Points 504 Points. And back in the day, this was 64 to 82. Bill Farrell had a Sinclair station. It was right on the corner of 5th and Points on the south side.
Yes.
Bill Farrell was a fairly prominent businessman in Manhattan. And his wife was a member of the country club. And she was going up to the country club one afternoon to play bridge. Well, one of the very first automatic car washers in Manhattan was called a Robo Wash. And it was up there in the 1200 block of Bluemont on the south side of the street.
I remember that.
And Mrs. Farrell had a nice little Nash Rambler convertible, the ones that had the framework over the windows and the back window, and then the top kind of slid back. Well, she was driving up towards the country club and thought, maybe I ought to wash my car before I go up there. Well, unfortunately, she drove into the car wash with the top down. And the Robo, goes around the car in those days, and she couldn't get out. She couldn't open the door, so all she could do was sit there during the car wash with the top down.
Oh, no.
And I don't think she made it to bridge that day.
Oh, man.
Oops.
That's a good story.
That's one of the things I love about this show, is when you get some of those classic stories like that.
That is a good story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
We had a Nash Rambler station wagon when I was growing up, and that was a great car, I thought.
Well, you know, there's so many businesses that popped up because of cars. You know, restaurants, we saw more of the drive-through restaurants, movie theaters, you had the drive-in movie theaters, all these different
That's
things you
exactly
could do in a
right.
car.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right, the drive-in restaurants that...
You know, there aren't many drive-in theaters in Kansas anymore. The one at Kinopolis is still operating except for a while because it's underwater.
Oh dear.
Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
There's one in Wichita.
Yes.
I know my son's been to it a number of times.
And one in Kansas City, and there's not too many outside of that. I think last time I saw that there were six, but I think one's closed since then.
Okay.
All right. We've got another caller here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. I just want to make a couple comments about my grandpa's. My one grandpa's name was Obamas, and we drove down Juliet one Sunday afternoon, and he says, well, I helped lay some of those bricks down there, and that just kind of stuck with me.
Oh, how neat.
But both my grandpas refuse to get automatics when they come out. They still want the, you know, the clutch and everything. So that was kind of interesting, too. So. And also, my one grandpa had this back seat that had that clear plastic, you know. And
the seat protectors?
Yeah. And that was hot in the summer. And of course, when they traded the car off, that was still there.
Yeah, you'd stick to it in the summer when you got sweaty.
I need something like that for my dog.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate you sharing.
Very interesting, that transition from standard transmissions to automatics. When I got married, my husband had a standard Volkswagen, which I did not know how to drive. So I had to quickly learn. He was going to teach me. That lasted about 10 minutes. And then his roommate taught me how to use the standard. And I do know a number of people who prefer standards. And one of the advantages that I got to know by experience is you could start the car if it wouldn't start by rolling down the mm-hmm. hill and plopping a clutch, which is something you can't do with an automatic.
No. I grew up with, you know, the first thing that I drove was an old Chevy pickup. It was a 63. And then it had a 3-speed, you know, floor shifter. You know, that was pretty rough stuff. No power steering or air conditioning.
Right.
You know, one of the things I pointed right. out to my son when we were at the Midwest Dream Car Collection was the little window corner vents at the beginning. At the front of the windows.
Vents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever you call those.
I think that's what they're called.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
But you know, those have all gone by the wayside now because, you know, that was there to kind of basically keep circulation so you didn't roast.
Yeah, and it directed the air.
It was directing the air into the car.
Right. If you adjusted it, you could get the air to blow on
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit.
That was, you know, cars without air conditioning, you know, all those things.
Right. I remember when we got our first air-conditioned car, because most of our cars when I was growing up were not air-conditioned.
Well, okay. And I know the premise of when we started this discussion about the show was about the Midwest Dream Car Collection.
And when the automobile came to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of history out there. Cheryl, if you were to pick a car out there that you could take home.
At the Dream Car Collection?
At the Dream Car Collection.
Oh, my. That would be very, very hard.
I know.
Very, very hard.
I know. What would your husband take home?
Boy, I don't know. Gosh, there would be so many.
Yeah.
Some of those Cadillacs were really
That black one
really
is one
nice.
Of my favorites. That black one is beautiful.
And the Sonny and Cher cars were pretty neat.
Today's Cher's birthday, by the way.
Oh, so it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go visit her automobile today.
Well, they're not open today.
Ah, okay.
Not open on Mondays.
Oh, well, that's right.
Don't they have a DeLorean out there, too?
Yep.
Yes, and that is a very interesting piece. Yeah.
I just love the movie. That's one of my favorite movies, so Back to the Future.
As it should be.
Yes.
I have a DeLorean.
You have
164 scale.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I have my own Midwest Dream Car Collection. Just all happens to fit on a table.
Well, and that is easy to transport.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you know, the DeLorean itself, I mean, who doesn't like a time machine built out of a car? I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Especially well, time machine?
And it makes sense. That connection that people have with their automobiles is really strong. And we get it through movies. You mentioned the American Graffiti movie. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Back to the Future. And so if you think about all the movies that cars play kind of a central role in, you can see its importance in American society.
James Bond.
Oh, yes.
You know, James Dean.
Yes.
Batman.
Well, there's that. I have like 12
Batman at the Dream Car Collection. I loved the Munsters mobiles that they have out there.
Oh,
those are very cool.
The Motley Crue hearse.
Yes.
I mean, that's an icon,
don't you think?
There's so many neat things that are out there. So.
It is.
Well, this has been delightful. Any other few historical moments? We've got about a minute.
Well, I wanted to mention the first Manhattan City ordinance regulating automobiles, and that was passed in 1907. And they limited the speed in the business parts of town to 10 miles an hour and 12 miles per hour in residential areas. So I think that's pretty interesting. The newspaper article that talked about it said, "The ordinance will probably be passed at the next meeting." This was written July 18, 1907. "And then the days of scorching in Manhattan will be over, unless the chauffeurs do it when the police isn't looking." So I guess I've seen some scorching by the chauffeurs around town now when the police isn't looking, and I guess it was happening back then, too.
Wow. All at 10 miles per hour.
Yes.
How about that? Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for sharing this great information. What a great show here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for the people that called in. I've learned a lot of things today, too.
Very good.
We're moving up on 10 a.m. Tomorrow, we'll have folks from Pottawatomie County to be joining us for the program here on In Focus, the GMCF Community Hour. Next hour on the other side of CBS News. Today, we'll talk with folks from Flint Hills Christian School and the First Tee of Manhattan. This program will be online at newsradiokman.com later this morning.